Good morning to you all. It is a great blessing to be here. Thank you all so much for being so welcoming to us and me and my family. I've gotten smiles all morning, handshakes, and the whole kit and caboodle. And so I just want to thank you so much for being an inviting church. Mo mentioned it might be good to say a little bit about myself and how I came to be here up in Boston. From Jacksonville, Florida, originally. I went down to Florida College, if y'all know Florida College, a Christian school, to play baseball. I did not grow up in a Christian home, had no idea that Lord's people existed until I got to that place. And in the classrooms there, I learned that David could be forgiven of his sins. And so I needed that forgiveness, and I became a Christian when I was down there. Met my wife down in Tampa, then we moved to Alabama. Long story short, God has blessed me in the sales of dormitory furniture. And so I said to myself, if He can make me successful in that, then I could go work for Him, and He can make me successful in preaching the gospel. And so we kind of stopped looking and just let God take care of it. And we said, we'll go anywhere. And that was to Boston, Massachusetts, which we never thought that we would live above the Mason-Dixon line. And so in October, that would be 3 years. And so time is flying. We have our youngest. She was born in Boston. And so when I think about all that God has given me, I call it swimming in the sea of unworthiness. You want to be turning to your Bibles to Luke chapter 12. That's where we're going to be this morning. Luke chapter 12, verses 13 through 34. Luke chapter 12, verses 13 through 34. Jesus is going to give us a warning about greed. He's going to tell us a parable how if we focus on the earthly things and we're not putting God first, then we cannot be rich towards Him. And I think there's a connection in what He goes on to tell a mini sermon about not to be anxious, because being anxious will lead us to being greedy and self-focused. And so Jesus will give us some tips on how we can be rich towards God. Be reading with me, starting in Luke chapter 12, verse 13. Someone in the crowd said to Him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But He said to him, "Man, who made me judge or arbiter over you?" And He said to them, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And He told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man produced plentifully." And he thought to himself, "What shall I do, for I have nowhere to store my crops?" And he said, "I will do this. I will tear down my barns and I will build larger ones, and there I will store my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry.'" But God said to him, "Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things that you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God." This man is calling out among the crowd. In the context, as you're reading the book of Luke and how he's ordered things, this man kind of sticks out like a sore thumb. Jesus is talking about some weighty things. Do not fear man, because they cannot kill your soul. And beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And then this man just kind of pops up among the crowd. "Hey, Jesus, teacher, why don't you tell my brother to do the right thing and share that inheritance with me?" He had a problem, and it was an earthly problem. And it kind of blinded him to who Jesus was. What did Jesus say? "I am not a counter of money. I am not a divider among you all." Jesus did not come here to give us a piece of the pie. He did not come here to make sure that we had our property in order. That was not His purpose. But this man wanted to use the influence of Jesus to solve a problem for him. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Maybe he had justification. Maybe his brother was not acting accordingly. Maybe he saw Jesus as a revolutionary to change some of these 2/3 of the inheritance goes to the oldest. Who knows? But his focus was on that inheritance. I think he had a problem. And it was not his brother. I think the money was his problem. I think the money was killing him spiritually. Doesn't that Jesus have a way of just responding? Isn't that right how we read the Word and we're looking for something and we read that Word and it speaks right to our heart exactly what we need to know and exactly at the right time? Jesus told this man exactly what he needed to know. He says, take care, be on guard. Here's the warning. Take care and be on guard against all covetousness. One's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Our possessions, the material things that are in our life, do not define who we are. That is a lie. Let it be from the evil one. That is a lie from the evil one. If we think the things that we have, our possessions, the amount of money in our bank accounts is what defines us, that is a lie. Jesus is telling the man, that has no bearing on what defines you and what is true life. Take care, be on guard. He uses the same type of mentality 2 times in a row. What comes to your mind? I'll tell you what comes to my mind. I've never been a shepherd, but the first thing that came to my mind when I read this was this idea that I have a sheep, I have a flock, and I'm out in the kind of the middle, and we're just hanging out, and I'm resting a little bit because the sun's out and all these types of things, and I see a predator on the horizon. Am I going to stay in my seated position and relaxing? Absolutely not. I am getting up. I am being on guard. I am taking care. I'm going to put myself in between the predator and my flock. I'm ready. The second thought that came to my mind is this idea of a watchman. Imagine that you had the 3rd or 4th watch and you were on the tower and you started to see some wrestling in the midst of the night, the moonlight, and you started to see movement. Would you sound the alarm or would you just let it happen? All I know is that our blood pressure and our hearts would be pumping. And I think that's what Jesus is warning us to do. He is saying, take guard, take care, and be on guard against this being greedy. Because if we don't, it'll just slip its way into our lives. If we don't fight against it, it's going to slip its way into our life. And before you know it, we're going to be outside of the Lord. True life is not possessing stuff. Possessions do not define you. Don't believe that lie. I want you to just take a moment with me to talk about this idea of being greedy and letting your possessions define who you are. I want you to just think about this. I don't do this very often. I don't do raising hands. I don't know. I don't do that a lot. But I want to this morning. I want you to think about all the possessions that you have. Bank accounts, cars, your home, everything. You know, we did that a little bit with Abraham this morning in our Bible class. We were talking about Abraham and how he had some kind of home. He had a permanent dwelling. He had land to sow his crops and to feed all of his animals. But he left all that. And I want you to imagine everything that you have. And now imagine that it's all gone. I mean just everything. You have to start all over. Did your heart skip a beat there? Is that tough to swallow? Do you see how attached we could be to our things and let them define us? I'm doing good because I have money in the bank. But what if it was all gone? Would you still be able to wake up the next day and say, thank you, God? Thank you for saving my life. Thank you for sending your son so that I could be clean and I could be in your presence. That I could serve somebody in some way today. We need this warning because we live in a society of wealth and it is seductive. We desire it. We desire the comfort. You ever heard somebody come up here and confess their sins? Y'all have an invitation song that we'll sing. I've been in congregations where they have invitation songs. Some people come up and they say, I haven't been living right. You ever heard someone confess their sin of greed? You are much more likely to hear some confession of sexual immorality, drug abuse, alcohol abuse, slandering someone, what have you. But it's not about greed. Do you see how it just lives in us? And if we're not fighting against us, it will control us. It's the one pulling the levers. It is a sneaky sin, and we need to be on guard. And I think that's what Jesus is telling this man. He's like, right now, the place you are right now is not a good spot. You need to be on guard. And I think this parable is for us, but it's also for him too. And we'll look at that. So let's look at this parable that he gives. He gives the warning, and then he gives a parable. And so in the parable, this man has been blessed. And seemingly, God has been removed out of his life. Because he does not acknowledge that it's God's land that he has given him, or that it's God's seed that the plants grew up and made him rich and blessed him beyond his capacity to store it all. And God's the one that sent the rain. But he has this idea of self-focus, and he has this problem now. What am I going to do? He's anxious about this problem of not having enough storage space for all of his stuff. And God is seemingly not existent in his life. Who is existing in his life? He is. He is self-focused on his treasure, how to keep it, how to gain from it, how to be able to relax in comfort for the rest of his life. And if you notice, Jesus is saying, I am me in this parable on purpose. I am me, reported 5, 6, 7 times. And so he's only focused on himself. What did he forget? He forgot that his soul belongs to God. He was so much focused on the here and now and the things that are going on right before him that he forgot that his soul belongs to God. That was not part of his retirement plan. I think this parable is a shadow of the man that calls up among the crowd. If you keep living like this, Jesus is telling him, if you keep living like this and your focus is on the here and now and this treasure, this inheritance that has you all hot and bothered, if you keep focusing on this, you are not going to live a God-pleasing life. You are going to live a life that is not rich towards God. Think about it. Both men do not acknowledge God. It's obvious to see that the man in the parable did not acknowledge God. He saw what he did, his blessing. He took that. He did not acknowledge God, did not give thanks to God, did not think about God's people and helping them with his surplus or his abundance. That was not on his mind. This man, he does not see Jesus as the one who has the words of eternal life. He sees Jesus as a problem fixer, someone that's going to get my problem solved, and then I can go on living. It's not the same mentality that Peter had. Where else are we going to go, Lord? You are the one that has the words of eternal life. We can't go anywhere else to find that. We can't leave you. This man wanted Jesus to solve his problem. And then everything was going to be okay. They both were anxious about their treasure. And that leads people to be focused on themselves. You can imagine, my life is going to be so good if I just get that inheritance. If I can just get that inheritance, I'll be able to relax. I'll be able to provide for my family. Hell, I'll even help out the other guy, Joe, down the street. I will help out Joe then, but once I get my money right, that's when I'll start to maybe look around and start to help people. And we start using I and me in that situation, and we are not using God's name in our lives. We're not thankful to Him, what He has given us, and we're definitely not thinking about His purposes. Jesus is saying to the man, if you live like this, it's not going to end well. Same thing for us. If we are worried about consuming things and hoarding up our possessions in this life, if we are greedy about those things, if we are anxious about those things, we are not going to be able to be rich towards God. It cannot happen. Because we have an earthly mindset and we cannot be spiritual with our possessions. It can't happen. And I think that's what Jesus is going to say to us in this little mini sermon. So let's keep reading in the text. How can we prevent greed? And how can we be rich towards God? Starting in verse 22. And he said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have enough storehouse nor barn. Excuse me. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to the span of life? If then you are not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will He clothe you? O you of little faith. And do not seek for what you are to eat, or what you are to drink, nor be worried. For the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek His kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure that is in heaven that does not fail. There, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I'll make three observations about this sermon that Jesus gives us on how to prevent greediness, how to prevent covetousness, and how to be rich towards God. The first thing He says to us is, do not be anxious. Do not be anxious. Life is more than food. There is something beyond that we have inherent in us that is God-given, that is above food, that is above clothing. There is something beyond what we consume and put in our bodies. It is a higher calling. God has made us different than animals. He feeds them their food, and yet they're not storing it up or anything like that. They're not concerned with it, but He does. And we matter so much more to Him. He is calling us to be higher. He is calling us to live above those things. He is calling us to be spiritual. The man that calls up around the crowd and the rich fool in the parable, they have forgotten this. They were in the mud wrestling around with these worldly possessions. They were not living to their higher calling. They did not see life beyond what they were putting in their store barns or their inheritance. Anxious people cannot be rich towards God. If you are anxious, you are worried about the here and now. You are self-focused. You are worried about insulating everything around you so that you are okay. You have this definition in your mind that God is not taking care of you. You are not trusting in God. And so you are going to play God yourself. And so you are going to put God off of His throne, and you're going to start pulling the levers in your life to take control and to make sure that you have everything that you need and that you are taken care of. Anxious people cannot be rich towards God. How foolish is it for us to be worried about food in this life? And not trusting God. Did He not create life itself? Did He not create the more complex organism? The one that can consume the food. The blood running to and fro in our veins. Our hearts and our brains. He created all of that. He created a world in which we could live. And that we can eat stuff that comes out of the ground. That we don't have to do much for. We just have to put it there. And He provides the water. God created life. Let us trust in Him that He can provide food for us and the clothing that goes upon us as well. God has been calling on His people for a long time to have this mentality. Here's another question we can think about. Would we observe the Sabbath? Every Saturday, okay, nice day off. We would rest on the Sabbath. We don't have to work. But what if it came to that year, that seventh year, where we'd have to take a rest? We can't sow in the ground. Can you imagine what it would be like? It would be really hard to trust in God. It would be really hard to trust in God to provide all that you're going to eat in that seventh year from 1 year, the sixth year. Would we have done it? I don't know. Doesn't seem like Israel did that at all. That's why they went away. They never kept the Sabbath. They went away into captivity. And so they never let the land rest. And when God took them out, that's when the land had its rest. Do we have that mentality to trust in God and to see the spiritual? Think about the blessing it would have been for the people to observe the Sabbath in the right way, to trust in God, and have a blessing from the curse that we found in the garden. And He would take away the work. Take away that curse of work for an entire year. That God would be able to bless them. God wants us to see your higher purpose. Life is more than food. Don't be anxious. The second thing that we have to do in order to be rich towards God is make the kingdom first. We have to make the kingdom first. Richness towards God is not going to be accidental. It's not something that we can have a passive mindset about and just it be it. If we sit around and do nothing, we will consume and we will be for ourselves. We have to take an active approach. We have to strive after being rich towards God. We have to take the appropriate measures. We have to be on guard. We have to take care. Paul gives an example of this to the rich in 1 Timothy chapter 6, 17 through 19. He says, "As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor set their hopes on the uncertainty of the riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and to be ready to share, thus storing up a treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life." So, if we have the riches in this world, we are supposed to see the unseen, and we are supposed to take charge and be ready to share those things. Do you see how if we were just rich and we didn't, if we weren't ready to share, if we weren't ready to take advantage of the things that God has given us and bless other people, that we would be consumed with self and that we would just start adding to the things that we have? We see that. What do we spend our money on? We spend money to make more money. We invest it so that we can get a return and get more money. I'm not saying it's wrong, but I'm saying that we need to have an active disposition. An active disposition that we are going to give others what God has given us by His mercies. May the mercies of God make us a generous people. Because the unbelievers, the people that don't acknowledge God, the pagans and all those people, they're working for the things of this world. They're striving and working after the things of the food and the clothing because they do not acknowledge God. God still blesses them, but they're striving after the things of this world because they don't believe in a Heavenly Father that is taking care of them. They have no reason to trust Him because they don't know who he is. We got to put His kingdom first, and we have to be active in that. So I'm going to give you some suggestions on how to put the kingdom first financially. Just a couple of things that you could take with you and just think about. One thing would be to maybe budget your contribution to the Lord. And I'm not just talking about what you have here, what you put in the box in the back or the plate. I'm not talking about that. God is given to that. And that is Scripture. But I'm talking about, what about all the other needs that you could be taking care of? Budget for that as well. People that come up to you on the street, maybe they need groceries or something like that. Somebody that you run into that is poor. I mean, are you going to put cash in your pocket or put cash in your car or have a gift card ready to give that person that they could go get some basic necessities if they ask? Put that into the budget. That's an active step of putting the kingdom first. Have a Dunkin's gift card ready. They could go get a coffee and a sandwich. Support a preacher. There's all kinds of men like me who don't work for a congregation that can support everything. And I benefit from that. There are two individuals that have supported me every single month since I started. And not only that, when they read my report and they know that I had car trouble, they will send something my way to help me out. There are people. You just have to start asking around and you'll find people who you could support. Support the kingdom in that way. You don't have to tell anybody. Just you and him. Support a preacher. Find somebody. Support them. Learn about their work. Where are they at? How is it going? Pray for them. Support them financially. You could send money. We have technology. We could send money anywhere in the world in just a day or less. You could send it and they could pick it up the same day. There are Christians in Zimbabwe. I know of some brethren in Zimbabwe that are really struggling. And they don't live in a place where there is a Walmart or some kind of place where they just go and load up on their food for the week or whatever. No, no. They have to plant their food and it comes out of the ground. And if it doesn't rain twice, if the second rain doesn't come, then the stuff that comes out of the ground is yellow and it's falling over and it does not produce any corn. There are Christians that are suffering. Ask around. There are preachers there that should be able to help you and tell you what the needs are. And guess what they eat? They eat the same thing, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. It's a bag of cornmeal. You could help the kingdom out. We have so much. We can give so much and help people out. And God would be glorified in that. That's how we put the kingdom first. We take what God has given us and we are the middleman. God has given it to us and then we send it back out. And we are actively fighting against greed and storing up possessions for ourselves. That's how we put the kingdom first and enrich towards God. One last story about that. Just something to think about, how we can be serious about God's kingdom. I know a man, he had a home, a nice home. He raised his family in it. He has teenagers now, or one's actually in his 20s, and a daughter's about to graduate. But years ago, they were able to pay off their house. So they paid off their house. God had blessed them so much that they were able to pay off their house in 15 years or whatever it was. And they took that money that they were going that was going towards a mortgage every single month. They took that money and they started to support a preacher with that money. Isn't that putting the kingdom first? Isn't that thanking God for what He has given? And then now that they have this open abundance, they can now give more to people. That's putting the kingdom first. And that's actively fighting against greed. They're being rich towards God. What a beautiful picture of His trust and faith in the Lord. Lastly, so first, do not be anxious. We cannot be rich towards God and be anxious. We have to make the kingdom a priority. That's number two. We have to make it first in our lives. And this is very similar, but let God be your treasure. Let God be your treasure. Let Him into your life. Listen to this. Listen to this in Luke chapter 12. Fear not, little flock. Fear not, little flock. What is He saying? You are little. You cannot take care of yourself. Do not fear. I am your shepherd. Let God be the shepherd of your life. Put your trust fully in Him. You are a sheep. You can't protect yourself. You can't bite back. You can't claw. There's nothing that you can do. And you're small. Put God first in your life. Let Him be the treasure. And trust fully in Him. That's real peace. That is real joy. It's not an inheritance. It's not a plentiful crop and big storehouses. It is trusting in the Lord. Let Him be your shepherd. And keep going in that same verse. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Let Him be your Father. Our Father who art in heaven. There is an intimate relationship that we have with Him. He has allowed us to call Him Father. We know what that means. We can define it in our lives because some of us have had fathers and we are fathers. And yet He is so far above who is in heaven. Let Him be our Father. He has all things. He created everything. Can you imagine what the inheritance would be if we just let Him be our Father? He's going to give us eternal life. He's promised it. He's given us His Spirit as a down payment. Just think of that inheritance. Don't be fooled by the trinkets here in this world, because those things will not be around forever. They will fade. They will rust. Somebody's going to steal it. But what God has given us is eternal. Let Him be our treasure. Let's be motivated by His mercies. I appreciate what our brother said for the Lord's Supper this morning. We are just workers in the kingdom. We are servants. The sheep, they could give some milk, and they could give offspring, and they could give their wool, but they can't give much else after that. We're just produce good fruit by the mercies of God. What God has done for us, what the Lord has done, dying on the cross and bleeding for us, let us walk by His mercies. Let us never forget what He's done. Let's take our thoughts about the Lord's Supper and let's live out this week and be generous and rich towards God. Thank you for listening. At this time, we will have an invitation song. At this time, if you have to make your life right with God, you could do so. Don't let the devil say that it's not the right time. If it is called today, get yourself right with the Lord. Let us be a generous people towards God. Let's not be anxious about what we're going to eat or our 401ks or our retirement. Let's let God be the shepherd. Let him be the father and take care of us. If you need to commit your life to the Lord this morning, you could do so as we stand and as we sing.